Let me invite you this morning over to the book of Luke, chapter 24, verse 45. Luke, chapter 24, verse 45. Luke, chapter 24, verse 45 reads this way. It says, "Then opened he their understanding that they might understand the scriptures." Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we come before your throne here this morning on this Lord's Day asking for your blessing of the Holy Spirit to guide our hearts and minds that we might hear from you. And Lord, that you might be honored and glorified this morning in our morning service. And Lord, that you might feed us as your children, as your people, your believers, your followers, in a way that would honor and glorify you and empower our lives to be the witnesses of your great grace, to receive you, Lord, in a greater way and to experience you in a powerful way that would enable the world to see that you are truly in our lives. Bless your people, bless your word. Again, Lord, may you be honored and glorified, and we'll be careful to give you all the praise, for we ask this in Jesus' name, amen. The title of the message this morning is simply, "Then opened he their understanding," speaking of disciples of the Lord Jesus Christ. But before we go any further into this portion of Scripture, you don't have to turn there, but I would like to call your attention over to the book of Romans, chapter 1, verse 16. And I want to share this truth with you. And this is the gospel, the plan of salvation of God to the lost and dying world. He says this, he says, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ," the good news of Christ, "for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek." That's it. That is the plan of salvation, plain and simple. If you're looking to anything else that you have done, mark it down. That's not God's plan. There's a lot of people that teach. Listen, there are so-called religious groups and organizations that teach and preach, this is what you need to do. Jesus is saying, "I did it all and finished it. And if you'll just believe me, that is what..." Listen, in fact, let's continue on. Notice what he says right here, verse 17. "For therein The gospel of Christ, verse 17, for therein is the righteousness of God revealed. In the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith. If there's anything else added to that, you're living by something other than the righteousness of Christ. And so salvation comes simply and only by the salvation that Jesus Christ paid for on the cross of Calvary when he shed his blood as an atonement for our sins, gave his life, and rose from the dead to give you and I, believers in the Lord Jesus Christ, who put their faith only in what Jesus did, a new life and power in our lives. And so that's the gospel plan, and I think it's important that that honors the Lord. I know it does, but it's important that everybody hears and understands God's plan. And the reason for that is I would feel horrible if there was ever anybody underneath my preaching that God has called me to and walk out into eternity saying, I never knew, I didn't understand, I never heard it. And there are many times that we can hear things and hear things, and then all of a sudden the Lord turns the light bulb on, oh, that's me. I need to receive this. I need to trust in God's righteousness, not in what I'm leaning on and thinking about or what somebody has told me or taught me if it's not the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. So back to our text here in the book of Luke, chapter 24. We want to notice here really the Lord's work and our need for the Lord to open up our understanding that we might know the Lord Jesus Christ as he wants us to. And this is not a part, but it is all of the work of the Lord. Amen? This is God's work in the life of the believer. So we're shifting right now to those who know the Lord Jesus Christ. And let me ask you this morning, and I ask this at different times. Why are you here this morning? I hope it's not for a history lesson. I hope it's not to learn something new, so to speak, and yet there are new things that God wants to reveal to us. But I hope you want to hear from the Lord Jesus Christ. I hope you've come believing that the Lord has something for every one of us, me included. He has something for every one of us to hear and understand as his children, as his followers in the Lord Jesus Christ. And so again, there are three steps that we want to consider this morning in knowing the Lord Jesus Christ and how he wants us to know him. And by the way, we're talking about believers. We'll see that here in just a moment. But the first step that we want to take notice of is the necessity of the Lord Jesus Christ to know him. We need the Lord Jesus Christ working in our lives that we might understand and know him the way he wants us to. And it's not with our natural understanding. The Lord works in our lives with his Spirit to reveal the knowledge of him in our own personal lives. The second step in knowing the Lord Jesus Christ is recognizing and seeing the necessity of Jesus Christ to understand the Scriptures. It's not head knowledge. It's not just a textbook. But the Lord, we'll see that here this morning, to understand the Scriptures. And the third step in knowing the Lord Jesus Christ is seeing the necessity of Jesus Christ to endue us, his people, his followers, with power from on high. And we'll take notice of that. But back up with me, if you will, and we'll look at the first step, and that is the necessity to know the Lord Jesus Christ. Back up to verse 13. And I want you to see that the disciples were held from knowing the Lord Jesus Christ. These are followers of the Lord Jesus Christ. Is it possible for you and I to be held from knowing the Lord Jesus Christ the way he wants us to know him? Can we be withheld from? Yes, absolutely. If we're walking to our own understanding, if we're leaning on our own understanding, we will not be acknowledging the Lord in his direction. So notice what happens here in verse 13. And behold, two of them went the same day to a village called Emmaus, which is from Jerusalem about 70 furlongs, and they talked together of all these things which had happened. And it came to pass that while they continued together and reasoned, listen, Jesus himself drew near and went with them. So these are two disciples, and the Lord joins them right in their very presence, and he walks along with them. And he said unto them, what manner of communications, plural, are these that ye have one toward another as ye walk? And the Lord noticed this, and are sad. You are walking, you're talking about these things, and you're sad. Notice what they say. And one of them, verse 18, whose name is Cleopas, answering, said unto him, art thou only a stranger in Jerusalem? Let me ask, stop right there and ask you this question. Do these disciples know who Jesus is at this moment? Are they saved people? Are you telling me that the Lord is right in their very presence and they don't know who he is? Absolutely. You and I can be in the very presence of the Word of God, of the Spirit of God, and completely miss what Jesus Christ is trying to communicate to us, because these things are spiritually discerned. These things are revealed to us, not with our own intellect, but with the Spirit and the power of God to give us understanding. And so they're right there in the presence of the Lord, and they're saying, are you only a stranger in Jerusalem, verse 18, and hast not known the things which are come to pass in these days? Now, listen, the Lord knew this was going to be their reply. The Lord knew that the Lord was doing this to show them something and to show us, that's why it's in the canon of Scripture, that we have a necessity for the working of the Lord Jesus Christ in our personal lives, or we will be limited and we will miss God's plan and purpose in our lives. Today, there are many believers that are saved. They know the Lord Jesus Christ. They're assured of eternal life, but they're missing what God is wanting to do and how he's wanting to work in our lives. By the way, does God love the church? Ephesians chapter 5 says he loved the church and gave himself for it, and that he might do a work in the cleansing of it by the word of God to present it to himself a beautiful bride, right? Chaste, white, perfect, ready to be presented before the Lord. Who's the church? Yeah, amen. Praise God. We are the church, right? And so God is interested in doing a work in your life and mine, is he not? And by the way, that comes by a personal revelation after salvation, by the way, on a daily basis, that he wants to bring into our lives. So let's pick up here in verse 19. And he said unto them, what things? Isn't that amazing? He said, what things? You know what they're getting ready to see? They're getting ready to see their complete blindness to who God is. So he says, what things? Verse 19, and they said unto him, concerning Jesus of Nazareth, which is a prophet, mighty in deed and word before God and all the people, and how the chief priests and our rulers delivered him to be condemned to death and have crucified him. But we trusted. That's kind of past tense, isn't it? They're dismayed at the moment. They're saying things aren't adding up right now. We have a little bit of confusion going on in our thinking. And so, but we trusted that it had been him, or he, which should have redeemed Israel. And beside all this, today is the third day. Ring, 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 ring. Remember, he told them, the third day I'm going to raise again. So the Lord is, so they're saying, they're speaking what God is going to use to bring them to understanding of all of his words and all of his promise that he said would come to pass. So he says, today is the third day, and verse 21, beside all this, today is the third day since these things were done. Yea, and certain women also of our company made us astonished, which were early at the sepulcher. They're counting of what was going on. They were together. The women were giving this witness, and they were scrutinizing it, right? They were judging this. They were saying, something, I don't know about all of this. I haven't seen anything. I'm not sure. I hear what you're saying, but it's not computing. Verse 23, and when they found not his body and came saying that they had also seen a vision of angels, which said he was alive, and certain of them which were with us went to the sepulchre and found it even so as the women had said, but him they saw not. Then he said unto them, O fools and slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken. So all of a sudden he's asking them, what are you talking about? And now he is correcting them, isn't he? Now he's saying, have you been so foolish? And here's our foolishness, ready? When we lean to our thinking, when we neglect what God, when we don't understand and receive the word of God that he says, I'm going to raise on the third day. We can be blinded and have the truth right in front of us. And so here's the truth right in front of them. And now they're getting abraded here. And he's wanting to bless them. But he tells them, he says, listen, aren't you being foolish? Verse 25. and slow of heart, and slow of heart to do what? To believe what? All that the prophets have spoken. You know what? You know what he's saying to them? You had the Old Testament in your hand the whole time, but you couldn't see it. Is it possible that you and I, as children of God, holding the whole canon of Scripture, can't even see what God has promised to you and me as His children? Possible. All right? So, and maybe, I'm sorry to say, very probable of what God is wanting us to see and understand. He says this, verse 26, ought not Christ to have suffered these things and to enter into His glory? Shouldn't this have taken place? Isn't this what the Scriptures were talking about? And beginning at Moses and all the prophets, He expounded unto them in all the Scriptures the things concerning Himself. And so here we find this case of the Lord's working in the life of the believers, and He's wanting them to understand these truths, and so He's correcting them, but He also desires to bring them to the place to bless them, and so He's done that. So now they've contemplated, and no doubt they're saying this, He's right. Whoever this stranger is, He's right. And by the way, we know afterwards that while the Lord was doing this, their hearts were burning. So that's the work of the Spirit that was confirming what the Lord was saying. So the Lord is telling, listen, God is speaking. I'm getting understanding now. God is opening up the Scriptures. Shouldn't this have happened? And you know what they're saying inside? Yes, that's exactly right. Who is this guy? Yes, whatever he's saying, everything he is saying is falling to me as being very good. And revealing and giving me an understanding of my relationship to who this person is. Do you know that God is still the same yesterday, today, and forever? Do you know that God still wants to do that in our lives? Possibly, is a church missing on this experience in walking with the Lord? And by the way, who's the church? All right, are we missing what God wants to reveal in our lives? We don't have to. Listen, God is trying to open up our understanding that is life-changing. And so now He wants to give them a blessing. And notice what happens here. Verse 28. And they drew nigh, and by the way, they trekked about five, almost 6 miles, and they drew nigh unto the village, whether they went. And notice what the Lord does. He made as though He would have gone further. This is important. Because, see, God has given to you and I, He's giving to us a revelation that He wants to bless. What will we do with it? Will we leave it right here as the service ends and that's it? Or will we constrain the Lord to explain to us, what is it, God, listen, what is it, God, that You have for Your church? Who's the church? Lord, what is it that You have for Your church, me? Don't do this. Lord, what is it that You have for the church, the preacher? Lord, what is it that You have for the church, the Sunday school teacher? Or what is it that You have for the church, somebody other than me? Or how about this, Lord? I've got some ideas that You should bless. I know how to do this, and I know how to do that. And if You'll do this and that, is that what God wants from us? For us to tell Him? Listen. Follow me. We're going to tell the Lord, listen to my ideas. That's not what God wants. God says, you know what? Before you and I were born, He knew us. Before you and I were born, He has already got a plan. So are we here to listen to God and hear His plan, or do we have our own? Here's my plan, Lord. Bless it. This is what I'm going to do for You. Is that how it works? No. So He made as though He would go further. And what do they do? Verse 29. They're going to receive this blessing. But they constrained Him, saying, abide with us. Listen, remember what Jesus said in John 15? If you abide in Me and I abide in you, you're going to bear fruit. You're going to bear more fruit. And you're going to bear much fruit. So here's the question this morning. Is the fruit of Christ being produced in our lives? I'm going to give you the answer. Ready? Not like He wants it to be. I'm not saying you didn't experience the Lord and don't experience the Lord, but I'm saying God is wanting to bear much fruit in your life and mine. I am not satisfied, amen, with where I am at today in the Lord working and bearing fruit in my life? So should I seek him or should I tell him some ideas that will make Christ, Lord, let me tell you how you can be fruitful in my life. Does that make sense? No, it's not. So anyway, so here's what happens. Ready? So notice verse 29, but they constrained him, saying, abide with us, for it is toward evening, and the day is far spent, and he went in to tarry with them. So we pick up verse 30, and it came to pass, as they sat at meat with them, he took bread, blessed it, brake, and gave it to them, and their eyes were what? Their eyes were opened, and they what? Did they know him in a different way than before when they were walking by the way with him? They did. Do you think God still wants to reveal himself to his church today? Amen. Amen. He does. But we cannot approach him with the natural thinking. We cannot approach him and give God some idea. Lord, it would be better for you to do it this way. Lord, I think, no. That's not us looking to the Lord. That's us telling God what to do. You need to come to the Lord with a blank slate and say, did these disciples, while they were walking by the way, did they know some things? Did they tell Jesus about the things that they knew? Did any of those things that they knew without the Lord, did those things help them? No, they still didn't know who the Lord. It was when the Lord opened up their understanding. See, we can know about the Word of God, but we need God himself to open up the Word to us. And so notice again, they knew him and in verse 31, and he vanished out of their sight. Question, was that God's plan? It was. It was God's plan. Now watch what happens with them. So now here we are, verse 32. And they said one to another, did not our heart burn within us while he talked with us by the way and while he opened to us the scriptures? See, there is the presence of God to the believer the way God intends it to be. God wants to touch us when we open up his word. God wants to speak to us to open up our understanding, but if we don't understand that he's the one that does that, that never takes place when we're walking and leading ourselves according to the way that we think instead of seeking God and saying, God, I want to experience. Question, do we want to experience God like this? Yes. That's two. I'll try it again. Do we want to experience God like this? Amen. Amen. Listen, the good news is God wants us to experience him like this. All right? So notice what happens here as we move on. Verse 33, and they rose up the same hour. Remember, they just walked about 6 miles. They got up the same hour, and returned to Jerusalem and found the 11 gathered together and them that were with them. So they went back to tell the good news. Do you know that was God's plan? Were these disciples, when they got this revelation of the Lord Jesus Christ, question, were they filled? They weren't dwelt. Were they filled with the Holy Spirit? Yes. They were filled. And you know what? The natural thing when we're spirit-filled is to do the things that honor and glorify the Lord. So they're supernatural. Verse 34, saying, listen, they return back to the other 11, and verse 34, saying, the Lord is risen indeed. You remember when they were walking by the way, they didn't know what happened to Jesus. Listen, a personal revelation gave them confidence, did it not? Gave them comfort. And by the way, listen, did it increase their trust or faith in the Lord? Like nobody else knew. Like nobody else knew. So now what they were doing is they were telling these disciples by the Spirit of God, they had come back to tell them what, listen, that's the kind of testimony God wants us to have. That he gives to us. All right? So, they said, the Lord is risen indeed, verse 34, and hath appeared to Simon. And by the way, remember, he was talking about them like they didn't know before. Remember? And you know, we got this report of them, and some others went after the women. And that was Simon and John, Peter and John. And now, what's their testimony now? Saying the Lord is risen indeed and hath appeared to Simon. Now they know that what Simon saw was a revelation from God. There was no doubt anymore. And they told what things were done in the way and how he was known of them in breaking of bread. Did they have a testimony to share? God wants you and I to have a personal testimony of the Lord to share. That's his light. All right? So now we move to the next step. So now we see they know him, right? This is Jesus Christ revealing himself personally to them. But now we see the necessity of Jesus Christ to understand the scriptures now. So verse 36. And as they thus spake, Jesus himself, remember, they came back, these are all them together, stood in the midst of them and said unto them, peace be unto you. So everything's right? No. He says, peace be unto you, but they were what? Terrified. Is that what God wanted for them? This is, listen, when the revelations of God come to us and we're not used to them, we don't know how to respond. But listen, God brings all these things to pass and comforts our hearts with these great truths. These are startling things that God does in the life of the believer. It's not just a history book. It's a personal involvement with our God. And so the Bible says they were terrified. He says, peace be unto you. You know what? Maybe this morning, maybe you might be terrified in your mind, and maybe you might say, I don't know if I want the Lord to get that close to me. I don't know if I want to hear from the Lord like that. And that might be a little frightening. Hey, listen, can we not trust the Lord in all of his goodness and all of his grace to do everything that is good? Amen. Should the believer ever have any fear of drawing nearer to the Lord Jesus Christ? We should never have any fear. And so they were terrified and affrighted, and supposed that they had seen a spirit. Now, what in the world went on with these disciples that just saw him earlier? They're all looking at this, and they're all shaken by it. And he said unto them, why, verse 38, are ye troubled? And why do thoughts arise in your hearts? He knew their fears. And these are the two disciples that were with them that were with the Lord on the road to Emmaus. So he says, why are these thoughts in your hearts? Notice what he does for them. Verse 39. Behold my hands and my feet, that it is I myself. He knew. He knew that they supposed it was a spirit. Because no doubt the Lord had his glorified body in a way that they'd never seen it before. And so maybe the Shekinah glory but it was foreign to them. And by the way, God, listen, God is wanting to bring us into his promises that are foreign to us when he reveals them. And some of them may be a little bit unnerving, but God will explain and reveal and show his great work in our lives, it will comfort our hearts. All right? So he says, behold my hands and my feet, that it is I myself. Handle me and see, for a spirit hath not flesh and bones as you see me have. And when he had thus spoken, he showed them his hands and his feet. And while they yet believed not for joy and wondered, he said unto them, have ye here any meat? So they're believing, okay, Lord, we believe you, but we're just quite not sure yet. So the Lord says, do you have any meat? Do you think the Lord needed to eat? No. He didn't need to eat, but he wanted to show them that, you know what, when he put food in his mouth, it wasn't going to drop on the floor. And so, have you any meat? Verse 42, and they gave him a piece of broiled fish and a honeycomb, and he took it and did eat it before them. So obviously, he's doing it for them. And he said unto them, these are the words which I spake unto you while I was yet with you, that all things might be fulfilled, which were written in the law of Moses and in the prophets and in the Psalms concerning me. He just did this to two of the disciples on the road to Emmaus. They came back. And they're now still there with the rest of the group, afraid. Listen. Then opened he their understanding. Who opened it? Oh, we can't do it for ourselves? No, we won't even see it. And maybe when he comes on the scene of our life, we might even be a little bit fearful of it. But God will bring peace and understanding and a revealing, and he will awe us, and he will bring us to the place of worship when we get personally involved on an everyday basis in a relationship that is working by the power of God. So he says, I'm telling you about me. Then he, after he says that, verse 45, then opened he their understanding that they might all understand what? So we find the necessity of Jesus Christ to know him as he wants us to. We find the necessity of Jesus Christ to understand the scriptures, or we're going to understand them just according to our own little brain. And that's it. We won't understand them. Listen, had these disciples ever heard any of these words before? Yeah, they did. But when Jesus expounded and opened it up, then they understood. Listen, they understood the way God wanted them to see these things. Last thought, ready? The third step in knowing Jesus Christ is the necessity we need the Lord Jesus Christ to be endued with power from on high. Verse 46, and he said to them, thus it is written, and thus it behooved Christ to suffer and to rise from the dead the third day, notice, and that repentance and remission of sins should be preached in his name among the nations, beginning at Jerusalem. And ye are witnesses of these things. And behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you. But tarry ye in the city of Jerusalem until you be endued with power from on high, until this is provided to you from my Father. Amen? Listen, you've got to wait on me. You've got to look for me and wait on me to receive from me. Verse 50, and he led them out as far as Bethany, and he lifted up his hands and blessed them. And it came to pass while he blessed them that he was parted from them and carried up into heaven. And they worshiped him and returned to Jerusalem with what? Great joy. Does the Lord's church need great joy today? That will set our lives on fire. Listen, God's great joy. Is that what it says? That they had, notice again, and they worshiped him, verse 52, and they who brought them to that place of worship? The Lord did. The Lord brought them there. So they worshiped him, and then they returned with Jerusalem. You know what that means? Now they're going to proclaim the gospel like he told them to. How are they proclaiming that gospel? Great joy. Great joy. Who did all that? Oh, the disciples. They had a positive thinking rally. No, Jesus did all that. Is our God still the same yesterday, today, and forever? Then the only ones that could change and can change is us. Because we misunderstand and don't call upon the Lord to give us his understanding. God wants us to understand the truth, not to come up with our own way. There's only one truth, is there not? You believe that? Yes. Try that again. There's only one truth. And his name is Jesus Christ. Could that possibly offend people that don't believe that? So, do we want to offend other people or God? Amen? I'm sorry, it's not my objective to offend, but listen, you're going to offend the world if you're going to stand for Christ. So, that means that if you believe that you've got to be baptized for eternal life, you're not believing the gospel. That means if you believe you have to keep some kind of rule or go through some kind of a class or do something, you're not saved. If you're looking to something other than Jesus Christ and his righteousness, you are condemned to eternity in hell. Let that sink in today that you might repent and turn to Christ and his righteousness and not your own. Because hell is a long time. And God's not willing that any should perish if you're looking to anything else. And if you don't have that assurance, you better start seeking it. Because eternity is a long time in a place called hell. If you believe you have to do something to keep your salvation, is that the gospel? It's not. Do people who call themselves Christians, do people believe that lie? They do believe that lie. Are they Christians? No. They're not Christ-like. I don't care how many times they go to church. I don't care what praying they do. The Bible says, the Word of God says, they've rejected the blood of Christ, the only means of eternal life. Listen. The Lord is getting ready to return. If you can't see that, my goodness. Benjamin Netanyahu was just, I think it was September 22nd, crying, there's a peace coming like never before. We're going to stretch it all the way from the Arab nations to Europe. When they speak of peace, peace, what comes? Sudden destruction. Isn't that what took place? Was it October the 7th? Saturday? Last Saturday. Listen, time is getting short. The whole world is looking to one little nation that God said would come back in the limelight. And who's that? Israel. Listen, it is more serious and more important in our day and age than ever before. May it move those who belong to the Lord to seek Him like never before. That we might be the witnesses while we have an opportunity before we stand before the Lord to use the talents that He has given to all of His children for His honor and glory with a return, that He might bear fruit in our lives, that He might bear more fruit, and that He might bear much fruit. Where is the fruit bearing? I'm just asking. In your life, are you bearing fruit? Are you bearing more fruit? Are you bearing much fruit? There's something going on in your life if you're a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ. Here's the question. Are you satisfied where you stand? Or do we want to press toward the mark to experience the Lord in a greater and mightier way? That's what the Lord wants to do. He says, if you'll seek me, you're going to find me. And I want to bless you like never before. So here's the question. Could any of these disciples have obtained any of these places that God brought them to without the Lord Jesus Christ? Neither can we. So God invites us this morning to seek Him like never before. And so it's our opportunity, it's the Lord's invitation, our opportunity to say, yes, Lord, in my life, guide me. Would you stand? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we come before your throne this morning, thanking you for these truths that you've given to us. Lord, may we not be hearers only. May we truly press on you, Lord, to abide with us. May we not let you just slip out after this message is gone. May we seek after you as true hidden treasure, Lord, that you desire to reveal. You bless those, Lord, who by faith or trusting in you seek you, not the ones that just leave the message right here, and, oh, that's another message. But no, Lord, those that say, yes, Lord, fulfill your will in my life personally to your glory. Bless the invitation. Bless your people that are gathered together here this morning. And Lord, if there's anyone that does not have the assurance of eternal life, may you turn them toward yourself. May they seek after you, believing and trusting in you, using faith that you will hear them and answer them and show them what salvation is. Bless the invitation. For we ask this all in Jesus' name. Amen.